King. Amen. Boy, I love that song. Amen. I had never heard that before. And y'all did a great job singing it. Amen. That was encouragement. Sure appreciate all these adults that take their time and really help us as far as ministering to these young people, these kids, and training up these children. Amen. That's a blessing. I believe I left my water bottle down there. Yeah, thank you. Andrew's trying to steal it. The Bible talks about training up a child. A lot of times we think in terms of their home, and of course that's mainly what it amounts to. It's the most important part of training up a child. It's what they get at home. But it's also a part of what we do, because that's what discipleship is all about. And that stands for all ages, young and old. And it's one of the purposes of the fellowship of a New Testament local church is to provide training for the believers and the Lord Jesus Christ to follow Christ. And of course, we have different outreaches that do that, like wall building on Tuesday nights. There are those that work with those. It's a discipleship program. Well, that's an extension of what we do. Every time we meet, it's for the purpose of training. Every time we come together, we're trying to sharpen one another, exhort one another, comfort one another. If you're down, we're trying to get you back up, amen, and get you back in the fight. And Sunday school is a part of that. Vacation Bible school is an extension of that. We've added youth camp as well, and every Wednesday night meeting, Sunday, both services, and even here especially on this first Wednesday of each month, this is a part of that training, because what we're trying to get you young folks to do, we want to encourage you to be public in your faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that some of you feel awkward when you get up here. You feel that pressure, just like I feel that pressure right now. I've never got up here that I don't feel pressure. Witnessing to somebody, regardless of what type of ministry it is, street or visitation or what, you're going to feel that pressure. And if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to learn how to deal with that pressure. And so that's part of the training, amen, is you getting up here and getting out of yourself and just wearing it out like you did, amen, and lining up with Him. And if you feel like there's something inconsistent in your life, you feel it's odd publicly identifying with Him, then we're glad for that too, amen, so that you can remove not your public witness for Christ, but remove what it is that's inconsistent with you lining up with Him publicly. Amen. A lot of young people, they're in love with the Lord till they hit those teenage years, and then there's some things through some friends and bad company and what have you, comes in and it makes them feel odd to line up with Christ, because they've allowed some things to come in that are inconsistent with the Lord. And what a lot of teenagers do at that time is they just quit being a public witness for the Lord Jesus Christ instead of getting rid of what it is that's causing them to be an inconsistent witness. And so we want to encourage you to go the other way with that. God trains us in our faith, all of us, at least He seeks to, through the Word, by the waiting on of our prayers, trying to get answers, the preaching, the teaching, through life, really. And amen. So let's get our Bibles open to 1 Kings chapter 17, and hopefully we can get something in the way of training tonight to help us. 1 Kings chapter 17. And you young folks, we always want to go out of our way to let you know you are an interest to this church. We're excited about you being saved and serving the Lord, growing in the Lord. You're an interest to the Lord, and you're an interest to the devil because of your potential and your life. You hold potential of great light and great darkness, and you can help people to know God, or you can cause people to be confused about Him. You can be a testimony for His glory, or you can bring reproach on His name. That's the potential you hold. Just saying that there's that potential. And it works both ways. You know, a car, for example, it has the potential of hitting 100 miles an hour. It'll get you from point A to point Z in a hurry. It also has the potential of running out of gas or breaking down the side of the road or ending up upside down in a ditch. Amen. There's potential both ways. When it comes to, you know, something good or something that'll work the other way, either towards good or bad, or our vanity, something that could have been something and it amounted to nothing, what we say about that is we say, what a waste, right? You know, that could have been something else. There could have been more there. We said, what a waste. You got a brilliant young woman. I remember, I won't get into the backstory of all that, but she's just young and loved the Lord and knew the Bible and had to learn scripture there with her paces and all that, and came from a rough home life, but what just seemed like she shined for God. And later on, she got interested in some knothead of a boy that wasn't ever going to grow up. And she ends up, you know, spending years with him and gets caught up on stuff she shouldn't have got caught up in, and never amounts to anything for God. My thought when I seen her was, what a waste. I mean, I remember when there was all that potential of serving the Lord. And I think of a young man right now who is a friend of our family who came into a lot of money before he was 20 years old. And now here we are, we're 20 years down the road there, and he's a whole lot worse for the ordeal. He could have mounted something. Right now, we just hope he lives. Amen. What a waste. Well, that's the message tonight. A message of what a waste. And we'll take a text, get started here in 1 Kings chapter 17. This is when Elijah the prophet has stood up to the king of Israel, and he has pronounced judgment against the nation of Israel. And the Lord has ordered him to go and hide himself. And so he does. Look at verse 8, 1 Kings 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, a gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing upon this thought tonight. And God, may your word and your spirit have the full attention of these young people that are listening. God, all of us, may we all have a ready ear and a receptive heart. God, we thank you, Lord, that in many of these services, you do speak to your people. And Lord, I remember many occasions, Lord, where it was your speaking made all the difference in which way I would go. And Lord, so thankful for those special visits of grace where you did speak. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would be able to do that tonight, God, that there would be an atmosphere where you could work and you could speak to someone's heart tonight. Lord, you'd turn their head. Lord, keep them from just being a waste. Lord, help them to get on track and be fruitful. Lord, may they live up to that potential of a life that has your hand upon it. And we do pray for the lost tonight, God, that their soul wastes not, that they'll not lose their soul. They'll realize that without Christ, they're undone, and they can be saved by your grace and by the power of the blood tonight if they'll be willing, God, and trust Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for them to understand that. We ask your word to have free course. Ask you to be pleased in all that is said and done. I ask, Lord God, for utterance. I ask you to guide my thoughts and bless me, Lord, to stand and preach your word and communicate this truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage here in 1 Kings chapter 17 really is kind of the opposite of the point I was just making there with that common expression of what a waste. Amen. Because here's a widow woman, a single mother at that, and she is taking care of a needy son. And she is expressed she does not have enough to sustain them, to feed them, and she's about to fix their last meal from that barrel of meal, and that'll be all they have. That meal is not going to be enough. It's going to go so far there, and then it's going to be gone for good. And so Elijah has come because he's been directed of the Lord to do so. He has approached her, and he has instructed her to go and prepare him some food there, a little cake's what he ends up asking for. And then after she's fixed for him, to go and fix for her and her child. And a strange request. I'm sure he was awkward making that request, but that's what the Lord wanted him to do, and so he does it, and she's got to show a little bit of faith to even do this, amen, but she does. She shows faith and confidence, and that little bit of meal that she had was not going to be wasted. It was going to sustain them, not only for that meal, but throughout those whole trying times that they were going to endure there, that leanness. It was not going to waste, he said. The Lord promised it was not going to be for waste. So what God is doing behind the scenes here is not only is he going to use this woman and use this barrel of meal, the bottom of the barrel, that's where we get the expression, but also he is working on Elijah. Elijah is learning to trust the Lord in all this. Of course, he's a man of great faith, but that's the thing. Even people of faith, the Lord never quits working on them. And he keeps building them up and teaching them new lessons. And so Elijah here is getting his character refined, and God is removing his pride by using this poor widow who was a needy widow and taking care of a needy son. Amen. And what she had wasn't enough for her. What she had wasn't enough for her son, and it certainly wasn't enough for Elijah. But as it says in Genesis chapter 22, Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will see to the provision, and God will see to our needs. Amen. And that's not just what he does. That's who he is. Jehovah Jireh, that's his name. And these three, Elijah, this woman, her son, would experience God's grace in these testing times, and they would learn that you can trust the Lord. And when God tells Elijah to go to Zarephath, I wouldn't expect everyone here to know this, but that is the hometown of the wicked queen Jezebel. And she's a Zidonian, and this is the land of Zidon there, so this is her hometown. And the king and the queen had ordered people to be out looking for Elijah, like he was some sort of wanted individual, and like he'd done something wrong, and he hadn't. So God has told him to go and hide himself. And of all the places that he was to go and hide himself, Zarephath was something surely he would not have thought of. That wouldn't have been his guess. Let's go to Zarephath. God is going to hide him in plain sight. And God is going to use this woman there to take care of him. And along the way, because he has to go to Zarephath, it's going to take some trust in the Lord for him just to get to where he's going. And so this is not his plan. I'll hide in Zarephath. They'll never find me there. They'll never think to look for me there. This is God's plan. And God says, there's a woman down there, and I'm gonna prepare for you. I'm going to provide for you through her. And that automatically puts you on uneasy footing if you're Elijah, right? I mean, a man doesn't want a widow woman taking care of him. He doesn't want a widow woman who's needy like she was taking care of him. But the Lord said, this isn't about you, Elijah. There's a widow woman down there, and I'm going to use her to provide for you. And he's like, well, who's going to provide for her? And of course, the answer is obvious with her. God was going to meet her needs as she would obey the Lord there. So this whole idea is a fresh path. This is of God, and God adds to this fantastic promise there. And then she and her son, with Elijah, they're going to enjoy this fabulous provision. God is going to miraculously meet their needs. Amen. She just had enough meal to take care of her and her son, and that was it. Well, if that's it, that's not enough. You're going to need more than one meal. And she is running out, and she's telling him that, amen. And so the Lord has directed Elijah to go there and meet this woman's needs by instructing her to first provide him a little cake. And so it's kind of backwards in our thinking, amen, but as long as she's taking care of the work of God with what little she's got, as long as she's taking care of the work of God, God's going to bless that barrel of meal. And it's going to be enough to get them through those tough times. And that's the way the Lord does it for most of us. A lot of people say, well, if I just had $10 million, boy, what I could do with $10 million. And you got $10 and you don't do a thing with it. You know, and that's the way the Lord tries us. Amen. If you can be trusted with a little, the Lord will trust you with more. And I'm not just talking about money, amen, but the Lord provides much by little. That's most of us, amen. That's exactly the way the Lord has worked this for many of us there, providing much by little. In other words, young people, if you can get a hold of this tonight, you're way ahead of the game. As a Christian, if you get a hold of this, if God can trust me with a little, amen, then God will use that little. And He'll bless that little. And maybe trust me with more. It don't take a lot, amen. You don't have to be some great big something. You don't have to bring a whole lot to the table to serve God. You don't have to be a great singer. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be filthy rich. Amen. If you'll just take what little you are and what little you got and not waste it, just be faithful with what God tells you to do with it. Amen. It will not waste. It'll not go to waste. That's what the passage shows us there. He'll be pleased to use what little we've got and what little we are for His glory. Now, can you imagine that lady if she'd have took a fit, you know, like a lot of us might have done when we're already stressed to the max because we're going to prepare our very last meal for us and for our son. And this preacher shows up and says, yeah, make something to eat for me first. I mean, it's a wonder she didn't go get that barrel of meal and come out and throw it at him. And say, I said it wasn't enough. Now, what are we going to do with that? Just throw it up in the air. Boy, you know, that little bit of meal just flying all over the place, she'd have thrown it at him. That little bit of meal wouldn't have seemed like a big deal to us. Probably wouldn't have seemed like a big deal to her. But you and I are reading the passage knowing what God was going to do with that little bit of meal. You know what our thought would be? It'd be, what a waste. Well, she sure wasted that. Not because it was so much. It wasn't. It was just a little. But God was going to bless that little bit of meal and use it for a long time coming. He was going to get them through that hard time. And if she would have neglected Elijah's instruction, and if she would have disobeyed the Lord, we'd be thinking right now, what a waste. Amen. But knowing what we know right now, amen, we're glad she's seen it God's way. And that potential, that ruined potential, even though it would have been little, would have been a great potential lost. Amen. Just a little. It doesn't take much to waste a lot. You got to be able to trust God with that little. There used to be a quarterback playing college football. For those of you that are football fans, those of you who are not, put up with the rest of us. This fellow's name was Vince Young. And in my opinion, the year that the University of Texas beat USC there and won the national championship, it was one of the most athletic performances I'd ever seen as far as just capturing a moment of sports there. I mean, a game that was built up where USC, I mean, they had these Heisman Trophy candidates, more than one, and they were announcers that were foolish enough to say, I believe this college team could beat NFL teams. And they were talking like that. Everybody on the USC Trojans, they were ready for the pro as soon as they stepped on the field. And, I mean, they bragged about this team. You couldn't help but root against them, amen, because of the way the media built up USC. And so I didn't care about Vince Young or the University of Texas one way or another, but I was for Texas that night because the media was obviously for USC, and I hate the media, amen. I can't stand them in sports and the weather, amen. I can't stand them, especially in politics. A bunch of liars, amen. And they built that game up, you know, like it was one man against this perfect team there. And this guy got in that game, boy. And I mean, you talk about throwing his team on his back. He did. It was almost single-handedly. He won that thing. And, I mean, just one of those moments, just one of the most wonderful moments I've ever seen for a team that I wasn't really rooting for, but I just rooting against the other one. Amen. But boy, I mean, you thought to yourself, that guy, when he hits the NFL, he is destined for greatness as far as sports goes. And he hit the NFL. And what they said about him was he always thought he was better than his teammates. He was haughty, high-minded, couldn't handle coaching, didn't want to be told what to do. Couldn't handle criticism, you know, that comes with being an NFL quarterback. He couldn't handle that. So by the end of his career, which was just 4 years or something like that, you're thinking, what a waste. I mean, this guy in the national championship with all cameras rolling and everybody watching, he has one of those iconic moments where he's raising up, you know, his hand or maybe the trophy, I don't remember. But I mean, the fireworks are going off and all that confetti's flying in the air and the cameraman just right at the right angle. And they're talking about it was a one-man show tonight and he beat USC. And you're thinking, man, what, when this guy gets the pros, and he got to the pros and wasn't that big a deal. 6'5", he ran a 4.440, which is fast. Had a really good arm there. Like I said, single-handedly beat the won the national championship against what they called the most complete college team of that era. And he hit the pros and smothered out. Career was just over. Just over with quick. In basketball, not long ago, was a guy named Greg Ogden. And before him, it was Sam Bowie. Sam Bowie in Kentucky, we was coming up. All you heard about was Sam Bowie in college basketball there. And then later on, you know what you knew about him? He was the guy who got picked in front of Michael Jordan. That's what he was famous for. Everybody knows who Michael Jordan is now. You kids never even seen him play, but you know who he is. And the big debate about who's the greatest ever, you know, he's still in the conversation there. But this guy, Sam Bowie, is famous because he got picked before him. Not because of anything he did. I think he averaged like 2 points a game or something like that. You know, and had a very short career himself. He's famous for getting picked above Michael Jordan. You know, just being all that hype and didn't amount to anything. All that potential, right? And never came to light there. But, you know, when it comes to life, not just sports, it don't take much to fail to live up to your potential. When the Lord can take what's left in the bottom of a barrel of meal and can use it, make it last through a famine, providing for a household, he can use you. He can use what you bring to the table. And it don't take much. Like the little song says, little is much when God is in it. Amen. Never mind, you know, those that bring all that to the table. Never mind those that have all that talent, you know, all that resources there. Amen. It don't matter. Little is much when God is in it. I want you to look at Proverbs and get Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. There's a man in the Bible who's a nephew to the one called the father of faith, Abraham. His name is Lot. And Abraham's a father of faith because he's a pioneer in the subject. He leads the way. He just picked up and packed up and went where God told him to. And he was looking for a land of promise. And he was looking by faith. And only what God wanted was what mattered to him there. And the Bible tells us Lot went with him. And God blessed both those men. He blessed both those men to the point that their herdsmen couldn't get along. And so they were going to have to split up because there's going to be trouble there. And Lot was given a choice by Abraham, which way to go. He said, it's your choice. You pick. Abraham was making a choice for peace's sake. And Lot had the pick of the choice. He could figure out which way he wanted to go. And so what ends up happening there is Lot chooses wrong. He chooses wrong for himself. He picked a land that was, the Bible describes, it was like Egypt. Egypt's type of world. And that's what Lot was interested in. Something that was like the world, amen. And he was looking to get rich and he was looking to become great. And so Lot's choice was carnal. It was fleshly. He went by sight. He didn't go by prayer. He didn't go by faith. And his priorities weren't right. Meaning he did not want the right thing. Obviously, he's not going to make the right choice about the right things when he doesn't even want the right things. He doesn't know how to go about making the right choice. So in short, he wanted the wrong things. The wrong things. That's what was important to him and chose wrong. And boy, you talk about a waste. Lot is a great example in the Bible of waste. Forever he'll go down in the annals of Bible history as a saved soul, but a wasted life. That's Lot. That's Lot. That's going to be a lot of Christians. A saved soul, but a wasted life. Carnal in his choices, his convictions, chose the wrong land for the wrong reason, made his decision the wrong way. And it's obvious in the way that Jesus spoke of Lot's wife even, that later on in the New Testament there, Lot had married a worldly companion, to say the least. And that was demonstrated when she looked back on Sodom. And of course, we all know that we can sympathize with her and you know, we can find excuses as to why she did that. But bottom line, Christ used her as a bad example. And he's, don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. That's the point. So I'm not going to have sympathy for her. I'm not going to present her in a sympathetic light tonight. The Lord said, don't do that. Amen. She should not have looked back. And she did. Lot and his wife raised wicked children. When Abraham gave Lot the choice about where to go, Lot's choice was land and cattle and finances and material things. He didn't even consider what he was deciding, how it was going to affect his household, how it was going to affect his children. But being in Sodom, that vexed his soul. Every day living in that filth, that just vexed his righteous soul, the Holy Spirit says. But worse than that, it influenced and educated his children. They got their morals, they got their standards from Sodom. And upon leaving, his wife looked back. That was home to her. This is where her kids chose to stay, many of them. Two of them made it out, the rest of them stayed. And plainly, she didn't want to leave. And so she's thinking nothing about the judgment God has declared upon the place, which hasn't happened yet, and she's looking back. And judgment fell on her. When Lot finally began to warn his family about what the Lord was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he began to warn them, the Bible says he seemed as one that mocked, meaning they thought he was playing. They thought he was mocking there. And I can tell that that's an indictment, obviously, against Lot and his family. Meaning his family didn't take a warning from God seriously, their minds on other things. But also, Lot hadn't been faithful to represent God and his truth before his family. So when he did, they thought he's kidding. They thought he's playing. And guys, when God's judgment fell upon that place, Lot made it out. But his wife didn't. Most of his kids didn't. All that stuff, which he made the decision for to begin with, all that stuff was gone. What a waste. Saved soul, wasted life. A nephew of Abraham. Abraham. He was his nephew. Went with him. Palled around with him. Learned from him. Knew Abraham's God. Knew the truth. And in the end, had nothing to show for it. Amen. What a waste. Here in Proverbs 18, where you're at, look at verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. A great waster. Someone who's slothful means someone who's lazy. And boy, you want to just get on a group's nerves. You just got everybody working, and then there's one lazy person throwing off on everything that everybody's doing. And why are we working? Why do we got to do this? And all this stuff, you know. It's a great waster, the Bible says. Aggravating. When everybody's reaching and getting it, you got one guy that's not doing anything. It'll drive you crazy. I worked a job. I ran the front end of a machine. And admittedly, on the front end of that machine, you had to work hard, but you didn't have to work as hard as the guy on the back end of that machine. And I know, because when I first hired in, that's where I hired in at. I had a buddy that said, when you go in, don't get that job. And when you know it, the Lord made sure that was the job I was going to get. He even gave me advance notice. You're not going to want this job, but that's the one you're getting. And so that's what that was all about. You know, I'm like, I just don't get that job. Just don't get that job. And then he said, we're going to put you right here. And so, yeah, thank you, Lord. And I had to work that job. And I mean, it was reach and get it. Just reach and get it all the time. It was hard. But so when I got the chance, after being there a while, to sign off and get on the front in that machine, I took it. And I got on the front of that machine, but because I knew how hard the guy on the back end of the machine worked, I'd help him. I'd help them all. Everybody that come through there and worked with me, I mean, we worked together. And we'd reach and get it. And I tell you why, I liked that, because we were there. We'd be there a long time. If we weren't there on the short shifts, we were there on the long shifts. And the long shifts just seemed like they lasted forever. But if you would work, that time would fly, you know. And if you wasn't working, you'd be thinking, what time is it, you know. And you'd always miss it by, you know, an hour and a half the other way. You know, you'd find out, you'd be like, no. I wish I wouldn't even wondered that. But if you were working and somebody told you what time it was, you wouldn't even ask it. You're always surprised to find out. And that's what I was looking for every night. Man, we would work and go at it. And one time they hired a guy in to do that back into that job there. And he hated his job. He didn't want to work. And I would help him. But then I found out, you know, he'd be gone. He'd be off talking to somebody and goofing off and whatever. And I'm doing my job and his job. My job by itself was hard, but his job was really hard. And he wasn't even there. And I'm having to do it because we got production to meet. And I'm having to do it. And so I'm really getting upset with this guy. And I would say to him, man, you can't just walk off. We got to get production. And he'd roll his eyes, you know. And he'd talk about, you know, oh, we got to get production. He'd mock me and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm sitting there wondering why they hired this guy at all. What's he there for? I mean, he didn't want to work. He'd even bring a lunch. He'd bring a lunch to, you know, to work there. I don't know why. Because we worked the night shift, which means we started at midnight, right? And we worked through the night. And who gets up at 3:30 in the morning and fixes them something to eat? You know, you don't get hungry at 3:30 in the morning unless you're working. This guy wasn't working, amen. He's wasting time, wasting money, wasting food. Amen. Took breaks. They'd come by and give him a break. I'm thinking, what for? I remember God coming to spell the guy. They said, you go take a break. I said, what are you giving him a break for? I'm doing his job. And he'd go off on a break, and he'd be gone way too long. They'd give you 15 minutes for a break, and, you know, 15 minutes for a second one, and you'd be thinking, boy, he didn't even need that break. What? Wondering, you know, I mean, it made the night longer for me. It made the night longer for him. We weren't getting done what we were being paid to get done. Amen. So he was a waste. A waste of space and time and money and food. Amen. I mean, just a waste. You know, work makes you enjoy your job a lot more. Everything's about attitude and approach. I mean, if you have a good attitude about it, you can enjoy your job. You look forward to it the next day, amen? And some people are so lazy, here's what I know. They'll work harder trying to get out of work than they would if they just buckle down and get the job done. And I say all that to say this, you know, that Christian service is more enjoyable when you work at it. When you put something to it, amen? It pays off. You enjoy it a lot more there to help you in living for Christ. And there are some things you can do. You say, well, I can't do a whole lot. That's the point tonight. You don't have to bring a lot to the table on this thing. If you'll just bring what you have, the Lord will use who you are, and the Lord will use what you've got. He'll use what you can do. And there's no telling. There's just no telling what kind of potential you bring to the table if you let the Lord use you. Amen. Now, there are folks that they don't appreciate what they got because they're not thankful about it. Not thankful. So they just complain about their situation and lot in life, and they complain about this and that and what they don't have there, and they don't realize, you know, God's provided for them, and God's provided a means that they can provide for themselves. And so they're not happy about it. They're wasters. Just a waste. Just complain about what they already have. Don't work for what they got. Don't work to keep it. Amen. And just complain about everything. Can't be happy and want more. Yeah. The Lord, hey, if you're faithful with what you got, the Lord will give you more. But if you're miserable with what He's already blessed you with, what makes you think He's going to bless you with anything else? And that don't always just apply to stuff. Amen. Look one chapter over, chapter 19. Chapter 19. Look at verse 26. Chapter 19, verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. He that wasteth his father, chaseth away his mother. The definition of waste, by the way, is to diminish by loss or gradual destruction. The Lord makes a statement against cities. He's going to judge. He'll say, I'll lay those cities to waste. You know, and that's His judgment there. They're going to become desolate. They're going to become empty and run down until they're just falling down. And if you've ever been up north and seen some of those cities, I mean, I drove through Detroit, Michigan up there, and there are parts of that city that are just endless roads and streets of houses that are empty and run down, and buildings, great big buildings, that are just run down and falling down, graffiti all over them, windows busted out. You're thinking, just what a waste. I mean, it hurts me to drive through a town like that. I get thinking about who built that building. I get thinking about how they used to work in that building. I get thinking about how much money it took to build that building. How much money it take to build that building again. And there it is. Somebody's painted all over the side of it, busted all the windows out of it. There ain't nothing but rats in there right now. Trees growing through the middle of the floor. What a waste. All that for nothing, amen. And here's a situation with somebody and their parents, just busting the punch of their parents, you know, just discouraging mom and dad and deflating them to the point that they're wasting them. You got a father, you got a mother, God says, honor your father and your mother. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Amen. And you know what's going to happen? You know, well, this is what my dad is, and this way my mom is, and you're going to chase them away. You're going to diminish them. You're going to let it go. You got a relationship there. And chances are you will live to regret the attitude you had about your parents when you were younger. That's the chances. Amen. Look at Luke 15. Luke 15. You had a mother that loved you. You had a father that cared for you, and you chased them away and diminished them. That's a waste. Luke 15. I'm afraid that in America today, families themselves are just wasting away. Parents aren't in charge. Any authority they try to show, their kids ignore them or yell back at them. Destroying the home. Busting the punch of your own father because he can't even tell you how to. You know, older folks, I know they get on your nerves, young people, because we've lived a while and we've wasted some days. We've wasted parts of our life, and we're trying to help you not to make the same mistake. It ain't that we're trying to control you. We're trying to help you. And no one loves you like your own mother and father. Man, the fathers leaving their homes to fend for themselves, abandoning their wives, abandoning their kids. Mothers that aren't present, aren't involved. Children who don't care. That's just a waste. There's relationships that just wasted. Speaking of brothers being a great waster, here's a story Christ relates about a brother, two of them, and one of them is known as the prodigal son. And what's a prodigal? What does it mean? It means to be lavish or to be indulgent, to live expensively, to drain it till it's gone, to squander. That's what prodigal means. Here he says in verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son had gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So here's a young man, just gets a bunch handed to him. He doesn't appreciate what he's got till he loses it. And he runs it till he runs it dry. And uses it all up. The Bible says he wasted his substance. There is no shortage of people in America that are wasting their substance. Living above their means. Shouldn't, amen. Money after more money, amen. Never thinking about the price. That's the story of a lot of Americans, I'm afraid, there. And we're not just talking about people with a lot of money, amen. I mean, think about with if God can take little and it go a long way. Think about people that they don't have much and they still waste it. Think about that. What you know, the only chance you got when you just have a little for it to amount to anything is to use it for God. Let God bless it. It's not enough anyway. And you waste that. That's sad. You want to get ahead, young people, like I said earlier, learn how to save money. Amen. The teenagers, listen to me. Clean the wax out of your ears. You know, talk to me about sin. No, I'll talk to you about your money. Learn how to save money. Learn how to budget yourself. Learn how to appreciate what you've got. Be thankful for what you've got, amen. And then learn how to lay up. Lay up and honor God with your substance. That's the Bible. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Just as God gives grace to the humble, just as he resists the proud, God honors those that honor him. That is a biblical truth. And we honor the Lord with our substance. It's a means of just saying, God, I know where this came from. And I'm going to show you just by just taking it off the top and giving it to you. And honoring the Lord. The person who doesn't honor God by their substance, when it's all said and done, and everything, despite what they've had, what they've enjoyed, what they purchased, what they lost, the testimony will be, what a waste. At the judgment seat of Christ, that's what it'll be. What a waste. One more passage. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What's that saying? It's saying don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Your life is time. You waste your time, you're wasting your life. Your youth right now. Think about it. There's strength in youth. There just is. There's strength in youth. The Bible warns about the strength of Tarshish being wasted. Don't waste your strength. Don't waste your might, amen, your youth, your life. Don't waste your time. You know, be a reader. Read a book, amen, a good book. Learn how to be a reader. When I was younger, I didn't like to read. And then there came a time when I knew the Lord expected me to read. And I became a reader. And I've read 2 libraries now. And that's not counting what I've got on CDs. I got CDs that fit into my computer, and I can load 2 more libraries. And I read all the time. My wife will tell you, I read all the time. A good book that's worth learning. That'll help you, amen. And then read your Bible, of course. Don't read anything more than you read your Bible. Young people, pass out tracts. Tell someone about Jesus Christ, amen. Commit yourself to church attendance. Commit yourself to prayer time. Listen to me. Prayer time is not wasted time. That is time well spent. Whatever you do, whatever little you do for God, it's time well spent. Here in Matthew 26, this is close to the cross, and Jesus gone to Bethany, and here comes this woman. Verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he saith unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor with you always, or you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Now I wanted you to turn to this passage because the reaction of the disciples, which later on is identified as Judas. And there in verse 8, it's him that says, to what purpose is this waste? Is this waste? We talked about wasting tonight. What a waste. And it wasn't waste in this case. This woman hadn't wasted anything. She used something that was going to be used for something else. She gave something that was going to be given to someone else. And it could have been sold to help someone else. And Jesus said, hey, you want to help someone else? Help them. There's always going to be someone to help. When it comes to doing something for me, you've got a narrow window. And when he was talking about his burial, specifically, when he would die, there was going to be 3 days to take care of that. And if this woman hadn't done what she had done, when she done it, she'd have missed that window of opportunity. Because he was coming up. And what she did to anoint him for his burial. And so, amen, that's a good point to get a hold of tonight. That you don't want to waste opportunities. Don't waste your opportunities. What she did for the Lord, and it was not a waste. She did not waste that precious ointment. She did not waste her opportunity. And if she had, done what was originally intended for it or what everybody else wanted her to do with it, she'd have failed to honor the Lord. And in this case here, the Lord honored her. Why? Because she honored him. And again, that is the way it works. That's the way it works. I know God, we're not going to figure him out. We're not going to put him in a bottle. We're not going to put him in a box. We're not going to know everything about God because he's God. But here's what I know about him. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And he honors those that honor him. That's a fact. All day long and for all eternity, that's our Lord. That's how he consistently responds. One chapter earlier, you just kind of glance back at it. We don't have time to deal with it. Because I need to stop. I realize that. Y'all got food and everything. Appreciate your good attention. But there's a parable that Jesus gives about talents. And these talents are measurements of weights for silver or gold or money, whatever. And he gives 5 talents to one. He gives 2 talents to another. He gives 1 talent to another. And these are stewards he's committed these talents to. And he expects them to take what he has put in their trust and go out and do something with it. Go out and make something out of it. And he says, I'm coming back and I'm giving you this. I trust you with this money, and I trust you with this money, and I trust you with this one. Now go out and make something of it. Do something with it. And so by the time he gets back, the person that had 5 said, I took your 5, and I made 5 more. And the one that he gave 2 said, I took your 2, and I made two more. And he's pleased. He's waiting for the other report, and the other one's digging up the yard there, and he brings it back because he's hid what he was given because he's afraid. Amen. He didn't want to lose what was trusted to him, but he didn't do anything with it either. And so he brings it back to him, and he said, I was afraid to put this at risk. I didn't want to lose it. And the man, basically, he just reasoned with him and says, I mean, he's pretty mad, but he says, I didn't give you that to keep it. I gave you that to use it. I gave you that to make something of it. I could have hit it in the ground, but I gave it to you to make it profitable. I trusted you with that. And even though it was a little, he said, take from him and give to the one that made five over here. Because he can be trusted. That's the way it works. We're talking about the way the Lord responds. So young person, as we close tonight, what do you do with all your time? Think about it now. In relation to the Lord, and one day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what do you do with all your time? What do you do with your mind? Where's your focus stay? What do you use your strength for? Where do your efforts get focused at? What are you doing with your youth right now? There's a reason why the Lord says, remember thy Creator. Now, in the days of thy youth, there's a reason why He specifies that. Because that's, young people need to get a hold of that. The Bible speaks of our being stewards of truth, being stewards of talents. God will give you a gift and you can use that gift. Stewards of time. You got time. And then treasures. Where your heart is. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? And think about it. One of these days you're going to look back on your life and see how you wasted your time and see how you wasted your talent and see what you used your treasure for and what did you do with all the truth you learned? See, to hear truth, to learn truth from the Word of God, it's not just enough to get it and then hide it in the ground. God expects you to do something with it. Do something with it. See, it's not just the person that loses it that we say, what's a waste? It's the person that just didn't do anything with it. Because if you just give him a little, he'll bless it greatly. He'll bless it greatly. Don't waste it. Amen. You got to sum. This is summer this year. It's going to come once. Young people, stake your claim. Stake your claim. I'm going to use this summer to honor the Lord. I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ this summer. Hold your position and honor the Lord. Commit to honoring the Lord. And we start next week, Monday, here on Vacation Bible School, volunteering for the way, the truth, and the life. Be faithful to Vacation Bible School. Get your friends. Bring them in here. He said, well, my friends, they're not even saved. Bring them in here. Please bring them in here. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. We'll fish for them. We won't go out of the way. We won't embarrass you. Well, I don't know. We're willing to embarrass ourselves. We're willing to embarrass you. But it's worth it. Amen. Their soul is worth it. Don't squander your opportunities and your relationships. Amen. Let's use it. Let's use these things for God together. Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to preach tonight, Lord, and give this message. Lord, I pray that it's been effectively communicated and I haven't gotten away. And I pray you'd overlook me, Lord, and just deal with hearts tonight. Help people to be sincere with what they've heard. And God, I pray for Christians. I pray, Lord, they'll realize they're stewards. Their whole life is about stewardship and how they use it and what they use it for. And I pray, God, you'll help us to be good, faithful stewards. And Lord, for the lost, again, we pray that the blinds will be removed from their minds and they'll understand their soul is their most valuable asset. It's who they are. It's who they are. God, I pray they'll realize that Jesus Christ paid the price to redeem their soul. And they'll believe on him before it's too late. God, I pray for their soul. In Jesus' name. Would you stand, please, and everyone in prayer.